first start with a little bit of akdama on the general subject. So first of all, I think it's worth saying that there actually are two subjects. One subject is the subject of tefillah in general. Tefillah is a subject just in general, not connected necessarily to formal tefillah as we have in the Siddur, but tefillah, davening to Hashem. What's the purpose of that? That's one subject. And then there's the Siddur, which obviously is the text which was prepared by Chazal. And actually, not only Chazal, if we pay attention, the vast majority of the Siddur is not even now Tiknas Zagdoyler. The vast majority of the Siddur is actually from Tanakh. Right? It goes back further. It's Nevuah, it's Ruach HaKodesh. And then we have other parts of the Siddur which were composed by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, which were the next Chachma Yisrael right after the Nevi'im. So the Siddur is very ancient and goes very far back. But again, like I said, these are two separate subjects. There's a subject of Tefillah and there's a subject of the Siddur. So I want to start first by, first of all, realizing that, like the Gemara says in Brachas, meditating before davening, right? It says, Chassidim ha-Rishonim ha-Yishoyim sho'achas kodem ha-Tefillah. The early pious people used to spend an hour, if it means a literal hour, or whether it means just a significant amount of time, thinking. Well, it says that they were spending time before davening, but it means that they were thinking, they were meditating before davening. And I think it often would occur to somebody to think, what was it that they were thinking about? What were they spending their time on? Were they just wasting their time with their arms folded for an hour before they started davening? Was there any particular purpose to the time that they were spending that hour, or if it wasn't an hour, whatever amount of time it was? Was it just a time of, like we do now, solitude, or mindfulness, or whatever they call it now? Or was there something that they were actually thinking about? Was there any purpose to what was going on? So I think the simplest way to understand what their purpose was that they spent some time thinking about what is their purpose and what they're about to do. In other words, I'm doing something, what's my goal? Why am I doing this? What do I intend to attain by means of what I'm about to do? That's not a bad idea before anything anyone does, right? To think, what are my goals? What are my purposes? What am I looking for here? So that's a good question. And eventually I would like to get to what are the general purposes of tefillah in general, but I want to start first, Taka, by thinking about what the purposes of the words that were put into the Siddur. And I think this is a question that many of us ask ourselves quite often. Probably could be that men would even ask themselves this question more than women, because we're mechayev three times a day to say the words that are in the Siddur. And that includes, at the very least, three times a day, 19 brachas of Shemayin Esrei. That's besides the repetition of Shema itself, at least twice a day. And then all other words, which even if they're not twice a day or three times a day, but they're daily, again and again and again and again. And the question becomes, what is the purpose of this Siddur? I used to teach in seminaries in Eretz Yisrael for years, and I've gotten this question more than once. What's up with the whole Siddur and the davening thing? If I feel like davening and I have what to daven for and about, so obviously I'll do that. What would be the point or the purpose of davening out of this book? What's it all about? Maybe it's a more modern question, maybe it's not. I don't know, but I think it's a legitimate question and deserves to be addressed and answered. So what's actually going on over there? What is the point of these particular words? And to get to some kind of answer to this question, I want to use the Gemara. Fascinating Gemara. It's a Gemara in Yuma. But the Gemara tells a story as follows. The Gemara says, why is it that the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah were given that particular title? Right? So we usually translate Anshei Knesset HaGedolah as the men of the Great Assembly. Why do they call the men of the Great Assembly? In particular, even if we would call them the Anshei Knesset, as in the people of the assembly, what's the Great Assembly? What's the Gedolah? What's the meaning of that word? Zog de Gemara, they're called Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. They're given this title of distinction because Hechziru HaTorah LiYoshna. They brought the crown back to its former glory. And which crown is this, and what's the form of glory that we're discussing? So the Gemara tells us, we're all familiar with the first bracha of Shemini Esrei. The words Hagadol Lagiba Vahanoir, the three superlatives, three descriptions of Hashem, Hagadol Lagiba Vahanoir. Well, where does that come from? So it's actually three words of Chumash. The Pasuk, Moshe Rabbeinu said it, Hokei Lagadol Lagiba Vahanoir. In that case, he continued with other words, but these were his three descriptions of Hashem. But something changed. Because also Yirmiyahu Hanavi came, and he said, Nochri Mirakdim Beicholoi Ayin Eroisof. Yirmiyahu Hanavi famously lived through the Churban, and he says, he's experiencing, he sees with his own eyes, this is the Beis HaMikdosh, it's Hashem's house, it's our meeting place with the Rebbeinu Shalom, but this is the place where the Shekhinah is most present, and most visible, and most obvious, and instead we have here, Goyim dancing around in the Beis HaMikdosh. Could you imagine what a dagger in the heart that was to a Yid who knew what the Beis HaMikdosh was? So Yirmiyahu Hanavi's ois mash. He can't deal with that. So what does he do? He says, Ayin Eroisof. Where's Hashem's fearsomeness? Loi Oman Neira. He took out the word Neira. Yirmiyahu Hanavi. Now, I'm quoting the Gemara, who's discussing Yirmiyahu Hanavi. If that wasn't the case, no one would dare to speak this way. So, of course, we're going to be bewildered by what the Gemara is telling us here, but again, I'm repeating what the Gemara says, not my words, not my ideas. Yirmiyahu Hanavi says, take out the word Hanoira. What? He's not fierce. That's what it seems. Why? I'll take a look, he says. The Goyim are dancing around the Beis HaMikdosh. You can't say Hanoira. So now we're down to Hokei Lagodei Hagibur. Okay. Also Daniel. Daniel lives already now. It's after the Churban. He's in Golus Bavel. Omar Nochr Mishtabdim Bebonov Ayik V'Roisov. He says the Goyim are now subserviating Hashem's children, Klal Yisrael. Ayik V'Roisov. Where's Hashem's mightiness? Therefore, Loyom Agibah. Now we're cutting off pieces here, like anything. And I think many of us are thinking to ourselves, where are you reading from? So I'll pick it up, but there's too many books here, and show you that I'm reading from inside the Gemara. But again, it's not the thing that we're used to hearing, where we have not only the Gemara, but like I said, our greatest Nevi'im saying, cut off descriptions of Hashem, because they don't make sense anymore. And you know, again, I challenge anyone in this room to think to themselves that they would say a thing like that. Would you do a thing like that? What's going on here? I'll tell you this. So up until this point, this is what the Nevi'im do. We have Moshe Rabbeinu saying, Okay, Lagodei Lagibur V'Hanoira. Now we have Yirmiyahu Hanavi take off Hanoira. We have Daniel take off Agibur. Also in who? The Anshe Knesset Agdela came along, and like I said, they're the first series of Chachmei Yisrael right after the Nevi'im. In fact, the last Nevi'im were part of the Anshe Knesset Agdela, Chagas Chayim Malachi, Ezra Sefer was in there. V'omru Adrabi, they said, no, the contrary. Zuhi Gvuraisov. These are his greatness. These are his greatness. This is the Lashon. This is his greatness. What is it? Shekovish Eskasi. He controls, so to speak, his own anger, Hashem's anger. Shenoisin Erech Apayim L'Rishoyim. Which means, the fact that the Rebbeinu Shleilam allows the Goyim to dance around in the Beis HaMikdash, which obviously is extremely angering to the Rebbeinu Shleilam. But, what do we always understand? Ezehu Gibor, HaKoyvish HaSitzer. Self-control is the greatest form of strength there is. So if you want to see Hashem's strength, Hashem, who's in charge and in control of everything, and still, Goyim can go dance around the Beis HaMikdash because he made the decision that this is what he wants right now. And therefore, he controls whatever it is that opposes that and lets it go. So that's the Gvura of Hashem. Ve'elohin ne'roisov, what about the fearsomeness of Hashem? Shel molei me'roi shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, heich u'ma'achat yecholu le'hiskayim b'ino umas. In other words, what did they do? They're turning the thing on its head. They're giving us the other side of those exact episodes. So if Yirmiyahu Hanavi says that the proof that you don't see ne'roisov is because you see Goyim dancing around in the Beis HaMikdosh? No. But that's where you see it. Because he's controlling himself. And if Daniel has a problem with the fact that the Goyim are being Meshabbat Klal Yisrael, so they say no. Goyim are being Meshabbat Klal Yisrael. But how is it that Klal Yisrael continues? And I may say, eternally. Not only then, now, and forever, to exist. And therefore that itself tells us about Gvuros and Meiros. Okay? So, the Anshe Knesset Zagdoilo sound a little bit more familiar, I think, to the style that you're used to. But it seems to be some machlokes to say, which we're going to want to discuss. But I want to first finish off the dialogue here, back and forth. Because the Gemara ends, just finished telling us about this back and forth little negotiation between the Nevi'im and the Anshe Knesset Zagdoilo. But then the Gemara itself says, wait, what's going on over here? How is it that the Nevi'im take out words of Moshe Rabbeinu? Let's go further back. Moshe Rabbeinu is greater than the Nevi'im. He said this. How could they do a thing like that? Omer Rebbe Lozor, they mitoyach sheyoydin b'Hakadosh Baruch Hu shamiti hu. They knew that Hashem is truthful. Lefikach lo kizbo bo, so they didn't want to lie to him. And that's why they didn't say Agiba v'Aner. They're not going to lie to Hashem. Does anyone need me to explain how this Gemara from top to bottom doesn't begin to make any sense? How do we make heads or tails of anything that's going on over there? And nobody who's not heard this Gemara before could believe that it even exists. But I promise, I just read the word straight out of a Gemara. You must have that on this. But like I said, it's a bewildering Gemara. And I wonder how many such strange Gemaras will we ever find. So let's try to figure this out again, straight from the start. We don't understand how the Nevi'im to go ahead and say, no, Hashem is not a Gibra V'Anoyer, therefore we're going to erase the words over here. And now, the Anshe Knesset Zagdoilo come along and they say, no, there is Gevuras and Eros. So, one second, so that makes sense, so we were the Nevi'im. They couldn't figure this out. Only the Anshe Knesset Zagdoilo years later, a couple of generations later, come along and they figure out how to explain a Gibra V'Anoyer. It took this amount of time for us to come up with an answer, and the Nevi'im were not smart enough to come up with what the Anshe Knesset Zagdoilo said. So then the Gemara says, no, the Nevi'im didn't want to lie to Hashem. Oh, so we want to lie to Hashem? So who wants to lie here? So they want to be honest. And what do we want to be? Dishonest? What's going on here? So this brings us to not only the explanation of this fascinating Gemara here, but to the explanation of the function of tefillah altogether. And in particular, to the explanation of, eventually, of the function of the Siddur in particular. So let's understand that tefillah actually had a different function in the days of old than it has today. And this is what we're going to figure out in this whole Gemara here. You know what tefillah was in the old days? Before the Anshe Knesset Zagdoilo came along? At Moshe Rabbeinu's days, in the days of the Nevi'im, tefillah was a means of expressing what you felt and experienced. What you saw, what you felt, what you experienced, that's what you expressed. So when you were enthusiastic, you were enthused about something, you felt something, you experienced something, you expressed it by means of tefillah. This is what tefillah was in the old days. And Klal Yisrael was on the level that when they felt things, it gushed forth from them. Right? It poured over. Koisi revoyo, we have the words in Tehillim. My cup runneth over, the way it would say in the older versions of Tanakh. So in other words, what does that mean that your cup overflows or runs over? That means it fills and fills and fills and finally starts to overflow. And that's something that theoretically could happen as long as you don't have a hole in your cup, right? If you have a hole in your cup, which means you don't hold on to the feelings, you don't hold on to the experiences, you forget about whatever it is that you felt or experienced or got or received or given, then it's never going to overflow. But if you're holding on to the feelings, to the gratitude, or to whatever other feelings there are, then eventually it's going to overflow, and that's what tefillah was about. In other words, it poured forth from the heart of a human being, the heart of a Jew. Therefore, now let's get back to the Nevi'im. Nevi'im come along. They are not discussing who and what is Hashem in reality. Is Hashem a Gibur V'Aneir? What is Gibur V'Aneir? Again, even we little tiny people today would never question who Hashem is. We may question our own perception of that. We may question whether we actually feel that. We may question whether we experience it. We may struggle with how to understand or feel that. But we wouldn't question whether Hashem himself is a giver of the neira. Again, we may struggle with feeling it, but okay. So now come the Nevi'im and they say, well, Akum Meraktim Be'echoloi. Now let's pay attention to the Lashon of the Gemara. The Gemara says, the Goyim are dancing around in the Beis HaMikdash. So does it say, Einoi Gibor? No. It says, Aye Gvur Reisof. Where are his strengths? So when we originally read this, we read it in a cynical tone of voice, which says, where is it? As in, it's not there. But no, it's literal. It means, where are his strengths? Which means, where is it? I don't see it. If it's not there, of course it's there. But what does that have anything to do with my tefillah? My tefillah is not about what I believe is true somewhere. My tefillah is about what I feel and experience. Do I feel and experience this? Not from experiences. Where should I see it? Where is it apparent? Right? In other words, do I perceive that? Is that within my current perception? Is this something that's going to gush forth from my mouth? Wow, how mighty is Hashem? No. Why not? Because where is it? It's in the days of old. It's not readily apparent right at this moment. So what are you doing? What are you saying? So you're going to speak about something that you don't feel? No. So that's out. Next. What does that mean? Did Hashem become smaller? Chas v'shalom. In no way. But is he not, in your experience at this point, coming across in this way, in a way that you can feel like this is what you feel and want to express? No. Now, Akum ishtabdim bebonos. Klal Yisrael is in Golos. We're subservient to the nations of the world after 850 years in Eretz Yisrael. Is the first thing that occurs to you, Meroi is Hashem? How fearsome is Hashem? No, it's not the first thing that occurs to you. It may not even be the last thing that occurs to you on an experiential level, which is what we're discussing here. We're discussing an experiential level. So they say, where is it? What does that mean? Do you doubt that it exists? We're talking about Nevi'im here. Nevi'im knew Hashem face to face. They definitely have no doubt. They know exactly who Hashem is. But yet, is this the experience we're dealing with right now? No. It's not. So if it's not, should this be an out feeler? No, it shouldn't be an out feeler. So he removed it. So now we begin to understand a little bit of where our Nevi'im were coming from when they were discussing how to daven and how to describe Hashem. But this brings us back to the question of, okay, so what is it that's going on here in the change between what the Nevi'im were saying and what the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah were saying? So what we're understanding here is that this was not only a difference in how many two words more or less in the Siddur. There was a sea change in the approach to davening altogether. Which means, up until the time of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, we relied on everybody to do their own davening from inside of their own hearts. And therefore, in accordance with that, words can come and go, depending on what you felt. Not only would words come and go, tefillos would also come and go. Sometimes you would daven, sometimes you wouldn't. I once mentioned to an Adam Gadol about a certain kailul that there was in Eretz Yisrael. It was called kailul mashe libei chofetz. This is a kailul where you learn whatever your heart desires. And without missing a beat, he said to me, im libei chofetz, if your heart desires. In other words, as soon as there's no mechayev, who says to do it at all? Right? And so therefore, it depends on your mood. Right? Whatever your heart desires, you learn. If your heart desires. What if your heart desires nothing? You won't learn anything. And this is what also was going to begin happening with tefillah. Which means, if Klal Yisrael is on the level, make an appointment with Hashem. And you're going to be making steady appointments all the time. Because you're living with Hashem all the time. You're experiencing them all the time. You're thinking of them all the time. He's in your heart and mind 24/7. You're living the Ribbono Shel Olam. You're living a Beis HaMikdash. Even if you were not inside the Beis HaMikdash, but the experience of Klal Yisrael, the time that it was a Beis HaMikdash, when people actually knew, like Rav Avigdor Miller used to quote from an old Italian Rav in his Sefer, where he wrote that Hashem has an address. He said, what happened when the Mishkan was first built in the Midbar? This was a brand new experience for Klal Yisrael, where they knew, where does Moshe Rabbeinu live? Right there. Where does Aaron live? There. Miriam lives here. Where does Hashem live? There. There was an address, a building. This is where Hashem is. And Hashem's presence was palpable. So when this is going on, the whole Klal Yisrael lives differently. You live with Hashem. You're not in the Beis HaMikdash this minute. You can be. You're not there today. You were there. You will be there. But you're living the experience of a palpable feeling of the Ribbono Shel Olam in your life and in the world. This is real sensory perception and awareness of Hashem. So you can daven that way. Now you don't feel a certain way, you won't say it. But what's happening now? The Anshei Knesset, they become a little Klal Yisrael and Golos. And this is not the end of the Golos. It's just the beginning. It's just the start. This is Golos from Bayis Rishon. That's still the Golos that we're in, by the way. This is a mistake that a lot of people make. We don't even realize. Bayis Sheni was nothing compared to Bayis Rishon. The Gemara says that in Bayis Sheni, these are the words of the Gemara. Again, these are more words that we wouldn't say without the Gemara. The Shekhinah was not there in Bayis Sheni. Bayis Sheni compared to Bayis Rishon was a big empty building. Klal Yisrael was chalishing in Bayis Sheni. Those of them who even came back. Most of Klal Yisrael did not come back to Eretz Yisrael in Bayis Sheni, which is one major reason why Bayis Sheni was not zeichet to what Bayis Rishon was zeichet to. Klal Yisrael did not respond with enough enthusiasm. So the Ribbono Shel Olam was ready, but what about the people? They weren't ready enough. So Bayis Sheni wasn't the same. To a degree, it was still in the continuation of the first goals. So everything was changing from here on. And so the purpose of tefillah changed also. And here the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah come along and they say, we're going to do it the other way around. How are we going to do it the other way around? Instead of you feel, therefore you pray, therefore you feel. Instead of you know, you think, you feel, you experience, therefore you say, therefore you know, you think, you feel, you experience. So we don't do away with you feel, you experience. It's not less important, but the direction we do it in has to turn around. Because we can't do it this way anymore. Otherwise we're finished with tefillah. If we're going to wait for people to wake up, it's never going to happen. And therefore, Anshei Knesset HaGedolah's approach in general, you don't need big shtiklach Torah for this. We know what they did. They instituted a sermon. They created words. But now we're going to understand what these words were for. These words were the words that a Yid should think and feel. Which in the old days may have come out of your own heart and then therefore automatically out of your own mouth. These days, those words are put into the siddur so that you, like I said, you do it in the other direction so you can put something into your heart and mind. You want these words in your heart and mind, but you're going to put them there instead of taking them out of there. So therefore, when we go to the last line of the Gemara, and the Gemara says, what were the Nevi'im thinking? The Nevi'im were thinking they don't want to lie to Hashem. What are the Anshei Knesset thinking? They do want to lie to Hashem, right? No. So now we understand what this is about. The Nevi'im, with their approach, they say, one second, what are you saying? You're saying words that are meaningless to you? What's the point of saying words that are meaningless to you? You say the words that are meaningful to you. So don't say these words, because they're not meaningful to you. You're not experiencing this. So the answering this, like David came along and said, okay, let's remind ourselves of the facts. And once we got the facts, that's what we're going to make ourselves feel. How did they say that? They said, first of all, okay, slow down, back up. Hein hein gvuroisof, which means, Hashem's gvuras can be found, they're there today as well, and they're absolutely as true as ever. Therefore, the fact that the goyim are dancing around the Beis HaMikdash, or did dance around the Beis HaMikdash, is not a reason to think that Hashem is not a giver. We have to understand and remind ourselves again the truth. Hashem's gvura is when he controls himself and says, to the goyim, go ahead and do what you need to do. And Hashem's meroyos are when He takes care of us within the golus, under the goyim, and He makes sure that we will never disappear against all odds. Nobody could have ever believed a thing like this. There are anti-Semites who said that also, who couldn't believe it. If I'm not mistaken, Mark Twain was one of the people who pointed out that there isn't a greater open miracle than the fact that the Jewish people exist. And if you think about it, all of our enemies, who were the most powerful empires in the world, each in their turn, went down into the dust, and as is quoted, and the Jew walks on the grave of his tormentors. It makes zero sense. It's no sense at all. But this is the Rebbeinu Shlomo's guarantee. So we got the facts. They say, the answer going to say, they will say, good. Now let's work it backwards. Let's take Agiba Vanir and put it into our own heads. So this is what the Gemara is saying. This is a switch around. Now this helps us begin to understand, why is there a Siddur altogether? And the answer is, at this point, the answer to the Knesset is like, Deila gave us the words that we want to be able to absorb in our minds. So we're not going to make up our own words. They'll give us the words, and we'll study those. So this begins to tell us how much there must be in those words. I'm not talking about now secrets. I'm not talking about Kabbalah. I'm not talking about all kinds of interesting pirush. I'm talking about the plain pshat. What is in that siddur are things that can do so much for our mind. Which brings us to the old question. Why do we have to daven at all? Let's focus on people, let's say to somebody who is learning Torah all day long and all night long, always busy. But it's too bad. He needs to take a break and he needs to daven three times a day. Why is that? Why can't this Jew here, I'm not saying that's everybody, but at least such a person, why can't they have their relationship with their Rebbeinu Shlomo and leave it up there? Is that not enough? In fact, it goes so far that if Shimon Bar Yochai, in the 13 years that he was hidden away in the cave, and he was learning Torah day and night, every moment, together with his son, he had nothing else on his mind. However, he would get up every day, put on his clothes, normally he was buried under the sand. He had a daven, he would get up, get dressed, and daven. Now, this is Tayosei Omnusei to the nth degree. But still, he must get up and daven. Why? What's so important about davening as compared to, let's say, Limud HaTorah? Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, right? Isn't that the most important? No, have to daven. Why? So based on what we've been discussing, let's understand, actually, Tefillah is Torah. Tefillah, again, as previously mentioned, are the words of Tanakh and the words of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. These are the words of Chachmei Yisrael preceding Mishnayos and Gemara. In fact, the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah were the ones, almost nobody knows this, but they were the ones who created the original body of the Mishnayos before. People think that the Rabbeinu HaKadosh of Yehuda HaNasi made up the Mishnayos. He didn't make up the Mishnayos. Rabbeinu HaKadosh edited and sealed the Mishnayos. But the original language of the Mishnah was, again, it was originally put together by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. So the Siddur, Vashtik Torah. Now does that make it better or worse? It makes the question worse maybe. Okay, so we have this Torah. Why is it important which Torah it is that you're saying or learning? And the answer is this. Regular Torah that's in the Sforim is Hashem speaking to you. So you're listening to Hashem talk. Very special, very important. I should have made short shrift of that, but that's not our subject right now, so I'll have to make do with that. What's the tefillah? What's the siddur? That's the Torah that you're saying. This is coming from you. And therefore, you take Torah and you express it. And when we understand what the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah wanted when they instituted this siddur, we begin to understand how important this is. Not only for you to be learning Torah that goes into your mind, what will you say and express with Ani, Vani Beroiv Chastecha Avoy Besecha, I, you're talking. Chonei Nu Meitcha, give me, please Hashem, or us, as the case may be. Shetatzileini, please save me Hashem. Right? It's like you're doing the talking. When you do the talking, it's a completely different experience. Dvorim hayoytzim min halev nechnosim lalev. We're all familiar with that expression, that words that come from the heart go into the heart. But in one sefer, it adds one word right at the end of that sentence. Dvorim hayoytzim min halev nechnosim lalev shaloi. The words that go out of the heart go into your own heart, back in. Right? In other words, when you speak, it goes into your own heart. Before anyone else is listening, it's yourself who's listening first. If you want to get something in there, the only way to do that is to express it as something you are saying. So this gives us some idea, to start with, why there's a siddur, what we can do with the siddur, what's the purpose of the siddur, and why these words were chosen. Now, what I want to try to do, beyond this, is to go into not only what the purpose of the siddur, of the words of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, but further, what is the purpose of tefillah in general? What happens when a person is davening? Whatever words you use, your own words, or the words of the siddur, or any words so conceived and so dedicated. And then, to try to use that to maybe have an additional reason why there are words in the siddur. So the copies that were just handed out are copies of the Sefer Chovos HaLevavos. Chovos HaLevavos obviously was written by Rabbeinu Bechaye 1,000 years ago, one of the very most early Rishonim. And he has so many Sha'arim. But one of the most fascinating Sha'arim and one of the most fascinating Perokim in Chovos HaLevavos is in Sha'ar Cheshbon HaNefesh, the third perek of Sha'ar Cheshbon HaNefesh. He goes through 30 different Cheshbonos that he wants every person to have a dialogue, an inner dialogue with themselves about. He really wants people to have inner dialogue with themselves all the time. In other words, challenge yourself, question yourself, discuss with yourself. By the way, we have inner dialogue with ourselves all the time anyway. Some people are more conscious, some people are less conscious of it. But the inner dialogue is going on with some people all the time. We have inner dialogues with ourselves. We also all have inner dialogues with other people in our lives. Some are alive, some are dead, some are around, some are not around. This is going on. This is not mysticism. This is plain stuff. Like I said, it's more conscious or less conscious by different people. But we have a dialogue, and sometimes we can catch ourselves having that dialogue, and obviously the more conscious and aware we are that it goes on, the more we'll find ourselves laughing sometimes at the dialogue we're having, or crying at the dialogue we're having, whatever it is. But the dialogue is going on inside ourselves. So the Chovos HaLevavos doesn't want to create this new thing of having a dialogue inside, so you're having it anyway. But he wants you to have a dialogue about serious stuff where you actually have a serious discussion with yourself. Sincerely challenging, thinking, what's going on over here, and what is it that I want to expect of myself? Where am I holding in these things that I would like to expect of myself? Right? So he goes through many, many different cheshbonos, and one of them has to do with davening. And it's in the 9th cheshbon, where he's talking about bechlal, are we doing what Hashem wants us to do or not? But in there, he breaks down into 5 little phrases, some of which hopefully we'll still reach tonight, maybe we'll be able to explain one of them at further length tonight. But because he Mamish breaks it down into 5 parts, and each one of them is in a concentrate form. He uses the tiny phrases of 2 to 4 words, or 2 to 5 words, or less, with 5 purposes of tefillah. So let's take that. It starts from that second paragraph. That's about a dozen lines down the page there. And he says, "V'ro'ui l'cho ochi l'das." My brother, or my sister in this case, it's worth it for you to know, "Ki ein hamatoru batfilo elo." The only purpose of davening is only 5 things. "Hisyachadus hanefesh lefnei Hashem yishadar v'yisreim." The unification of one's soul or psyche with Hashem. The funny lashon with the word lefnei. Anyone can read my handwriting on the side. What I wrote is that it's really what he's referring to is siyachdus hanefesh im Hashem, unifying oneself with Hashem. Okay, we'll discuss that eventually. Number one. Number two, ukni'osa loy. Kni'o refers to humility towards Hashem. That's number two. Number three, im haroimimus lebeiro, exalting its creator, as in the creator of this nefesh, or of this psyche, of this soul, or of ourselves, our creator, exalting our creator. That's number three. Number four, the halel v'ashevach lishmoy, halel and shevach. What's halel and shevach? Praise and praise. It's not the only place where that question will be. All over the place. All over the place. We have a whole bunch of different terms. One more Shabbos morning in Shul, we discussed what Hallel is. Hallel refers to going wild. How do we know that? Hallel is related to the word Hoilol, Hoilulus, or Yelola. Yelola means to wail, right? Not so far. The English word and the Hebrew term are actually pretty similar. Right? So we have halil and yalil are the same word. And hoilil. So what is it? It's to go wild. So go wild in what? Halil means to go wild with praise, with excitement about something. Yalil means to go wild, sadly, wailing, as in grief to the point of wailing. So halil v'shevach l'shvay means praise. Shevach, by the way, means also improvement. The Lashon HaGemara means to improve, which means bringing out Hashem's greatness, or anyone's greatness, or Yimashabeach, means to make them better, not to make them actually better, but to make them better in your mind and in other people's minds by praising them. And Hallel means to go wild with praise. So Hallel v'shevach l'shmoy. And last but not least, Shulochas kol da'agoyseho olav, to throw all of your worries onto Him. Notice, and maybe we'll get back to this, but I want to say it now while I still remember to, only the last one of the five is the one that has anything to do with your own worries, concerns, desires, requests, or anything else. And most of us usually will say, what's tefillah? Tefillah is asking for what you want. But He has four things that precede that. Even if we don't yet fully understand all five, but we see that they're not about asking for your needs. The fifth thing is throwing your worries on Hashem. So let's take these one by one, and let's take the first one first. The first thing is Yisyachdus HaNefesh Im Hashem, unifying with Hashem. Another word for that would be communing with Hashem. Communing with Hashem, right? What does that mean? Commune with Hashem. I didn't say communicate, but commune. Or to unify, right? That means to, what this really is the desire of the soul to fuse with Hashem. Now these are very lofty words. This is not something that every person will always be in the mood of. To fuse with Hashem. Very special words, right? Middle of your regular day, with a million things on your head, is this the only thing on your mind to fuse with Hashem? Not always, honestly, right? But still, the primary focus of tefillah is that. And it's good to know that. Right? It's good to know it, because at least we know it exists that way. I think most of us know that it exists anyway. Because almost everybody, if not everyone, has had an experience like that. At least one, if not many. Not always, again. Even if it happened once a year. But we have experiences where we feel intimate with the Rebbeinu Shlom. We feel close. We feel connected, right? We feel taka, like we're fusing with Him to the extent, again, like I said, everyone has had at least one experience like that in their life, where you sort of forget yourself, forget where you are. You're sort of hovering a bit because you're connecting with your Rebbeinu Shlom. And the truth is the deepest desire of every soul is to reunite, and here we just added the two letters re in the front, which tells us not only unite, but reunite, which means we come from that. We're a chedek gamimal. This is where we come from. And in a certain sense, all of us have the part of us that is like a fire, which is always drawing upward to its source. So when he says these few words here, siyachadus ha-nefesh l'fnei Hashem yishadar v'yisroimem, what it means is, we have a soul and the world has a soul. The universe has a soul. The universe, the soul of the universe is Hashem. The soul of us is Hashem. And our neshama wants to reunite with the neshama of everything. This is really what the first thing is that we're talking about here. So therefore, again, like I said, it's lofty words, and sometimes for 30 seconds you might even feel like you're being lifted on the wings of these inspiring words. But the point is, again, to remind ourselves that this actually exists. I'm saying remind, because I think everybody actually knows that it exists. I don't know if we ever necessarily realize, oh, is that what davening is? Did we ever define it that way and put it into words? So that we have to thank the Chavis and love us for, he did that for us. Right? So we now realize that the first and foremost reason for davening is to unite with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. At least by means of a certain experience, a certain encounter, where we express certain words and sentiments, which bring us to a place where we can actually feel a deep, intimate connection with the Rebbeinu Shlomo. Now I'm going to ask now, we're not going to be able to continue further now, but I do want to know, is there any interest in the future in taking the last 5-10 minutes and using it to go off the subject, or would the Olam here prefer to stick to the subject and have any questions beyond the subject they were studying? I'll ask for a show of hands. Option one is to take some time at the end when there are questions. Go off the subject to any other subject or questions that people have here. Huh? Oh, by the way, the questions, you know, there's the option of writing them on a note and sending it up if you don't want to speak up, or speaking up, whatever it is. Anyone interested in that option, option number one, of having questions on other subjects? Not really. Okay. So I'll stick to the second thing. Okay, so... I don't see anyone saying that they want anything yet. I love to do that. Anyone interested in only having questions on the subject? And only sticking to the subject? Or nobody interested in that either? Oh, okay, some people are. Okay. So, for now, unless I'm asked otherwise, I'll assume that we won't go with the subject. But again, I will mention, like I said at the beginning, I'm always happy for people at any point to speak up with any questions on whatever it is that I'm speaking about at the time.
Okay, so I'll ask a question. So, let's say you don't have a lot of time to that, and in the morning you've got to get to work. And it's supposed to be the most important thing in davening is to connect with Hashem. How do you connect with Hashem when you're in a hurry, you've got to get out the door, you've got to be at work, and you have 5 minutes?
Yeah. Okay, look, that's a thoughtful question, and I'm sorry that I don't have a good answer to that question. The only good answer I have to that question that's actually realistic is that the other purposes of tefillah, even if they're not the first purpose, their important purposes. And therefore, what I was implying earlier when I said everyone has such experiences is that that's not going to necessarily be the majority of our experiences. Now, I'll allow and even appreciate the fact that often women are much better than men in this, in being able to switch into emotional gear than men are. Sometimes not only much better, it's maybe women are the only ones sometimes. You know, some men can't get past the words and that's it. Some men could get past the words. But I do want us to understand that because of that question, which it can't only be your question, it's everybody's question, right? We need to be able to appreciate the fact that even when purpose number one is not there, there are another four to go. Now maybe we'll have to put X's on some of the others as we go along also. But if we even end up with one at the end, that's good enough. But I want to say even more. Once we have the answer, Knesset HaGdolah to tell us, say the words. Say the words. And we can say the words, then even if none of the reasons are there, at this point we have another way to go. In other words, let's say a woman or a man, but we're talking to women. So let's say a woman can only do that. In other words, I'm in a rush, but I can say some words. Should I do it, or should I not say anything? Say the words. You never know, by mistake, against your will, something may get in there. Right? So that's already a purpose enough. So like I said, I'm sorry I don't have a good enough answer to say, no, we'll make this happen, because we're not always going to make this happen. But I think that that's a positive answer also, because that actually tells us, one second, we're all in the same boat, and there are other purposes as well. However, at the same time, let's keep in mind, top purpose, hopefully sometime we can get to there, is taka, to be able to feel unification with Hashem.
How do you do that?
There's not a very big chiyuv of tefillah. There's not a very big chiyuv of
tefillah. I understand we're talking about purpose, but her question was about 5 minutes. I remember when we had a different shir and a rabbi saying, they said, for you, if you say it's tonight, please Hashem help me get my kids to carpool on time, you took care of the chiyuv of tefillah. So like, at this point, like things like go open the scissor and do what I'm just going to put the dollar on you, go say the words, like, where in my day am I supposed to take care of that in order to get to these five purposes? It sounds beautiful, but realistically, like, how is this happening to get to such beautiful
okay.
purposes?
Okay. So let's put this down clearly like this. There are two forms, like you mentioned right in the beginning, there are two forms of tefillah. One form of tefillah is your own words that come from your heart. One form of tefillah are the words that Asher Knesset Sagdala. Each one of these has its own distinct maila, which the other one does not have. What the maila is of saying your own words is clear to everybody, right? When something comes from straight from the heart, carpool or nishkarpool, whatever it is, everybody has their thing, right? And so anytime you're alone, or at least alone enough to feel comfortable to say a word or two, that's a good time for that. Whatever those words are, and whatever the purpose is, you're yoytze tfilo de'oiraisa when you do that. The Rambam holds that that is a chiyuv de'oiraisa, the daven when you have a need. Right? Special, it has a tremendous smile, it's coming straight from your own heart. It also has one tremendous hasara. Who says it's going to happen? Who says when it's going to happen? So, one day, you're stuck with carpool. What happens if that happens once in 2 weeks? Does that mean you're only encounter... Okay. Glad to hear, Baruch Hashem, we have, Baruch Hashem, Klal Yisrael has very special people, but it's not always so. Right? In other words, some people can have 2 weeks go by and they'll never open their mouth at all to Hashem if there's no official time, place, and words that have to be used. So therefore, that kind of tefillah also plays a special role and has a special function. And you're saying, how can you ever get to that? So first of all, let's stick to the deraisa. The deraisa is either the case that you spoke of, which is you say your own words at a time when you need it, and the other deraisa is to say shvach, hoido, and bakasha every day, which means praise, thanks, and request. If you say tefillah hashachar, you say, sorry, birchas hashachar, or birchas hateira, and or birchas hateira, especially if you say both, you got all of that in there. Especially if you're thinking about some of the words you said, even better. Right? So, that's the deraisa. And, you know what? Even while you're doing other things, sometimes you can be doing that also. Birchas hashachar and birchas hateira is not that much. And I'm afraid that sometimes because we demand so much of ourselves, we do nothing. No time to do the whole thing, so I'll do none. So let's take it down to the minimum. The minimum is, like I said, it's either birchas hashachar or birchas hateira. You can do both. Tzadekes, gavaldik. Right? You can't do that. Usually you can. Can you do more than that by using your own words when a need arises? That's more natural, like you said. That mila. If we can have some of this and some of that every day, you can go to sleep with a big smile that night and say, Mesuka shnasa eva. I did a good job. And that's where women are absolved from most of what the men are mechayiv to do. One second, did that already address your question? Okay.
For those of us who might have 15 minutes to work, will he learn what, if we're saying everybody is coming, I'm not understanding that it is high shell on the Kavana, will we learn what is the most important part of davening that we should have Kavana?
So, first of all, again, like I said, the chiyuv is to have shvach hayado v'bakasha. If you can, and if you can have kavanah right there, terrific. Otherwise, if you go further than that, there are two places that kavanah is ma'akif. And that's the first pasuk of Kriyat Shema and the first bracha Shemoneh Esrei. Now, I want to be careful with that, because people sometimes feel that the tefillah is worthless because they didn't have kavanah in the first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei. So I want to say something that's a big chiddush to a lot of people, which is we're past the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah Re'ei'osa. The Anshei Knesset HaGedolah said, say the words and think about what you're saying and take it in. What if you're saying the words and you're not taking it in? So in those days, there were certain places where that wasn't going to work. And the first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei is one of those. This is where it says in the Gemara, you have to daven over if you didn't have kavanah in the first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei. But the Rishonim came along and said, don't daven over. Even if you had no kavanah in the first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, don't daven over anyway. So they said it in a way that sounds a bit negative, but I want to take it a positive of it. They said, you'll daven again and you'll have no kavanah the second time either. So that's how much confidence they seem to have in us. But at the same time, there's a message there, which is, wait. So if I'm not going to have kavanah the first time or the second time, so what are you telling me? To say 19 brachas l'batala now? So they're not brachas l'batala. In other words, do your best. Do your best. But if it doesn't work, keep davening. Right? This is the message here. So again, if you want to know, where should I focus? Those would be good places to focus. You missed that too? You missed that too. But keep davening. Thank you all. Hopefully you'll see you all next week. Bring your friends.